after my sister was born. Peter Paul Candy Company began touting their Almond Joy and Mounds bars with a phrase, indescribably delicious. Probably a misuse of that word, indescribably, because through the entire commercial, they tried to describe what it was like. They showed you pictures of dark chocolate pouring over those little coconut mounds, or the Almond Joy bar. In other words, they said, you can't describe it, but we're going to try. We use several words like that. Indescribably is probably the least used of the three. Another one that we use like that all the time is, it's unbelievable. I went to this show, and you, Cirque du Soleil, I mean, the things they do, it's unbelievable. But it never stops there. If it's unbelievable, why are you trying to convince me you saw it or that it really happened? Indescribable, unbelievable, and incredible. Incredible means you cannot believe it. But after we tell something is incredible, we go on to tell what it is. I would like it just one time if somebody said, so I was going up these stairs and I tripped and the pain I felt is incredible. And they just stopped there. Or you went to a doctor and the doctor said, well, tell me what's going on. Well, I've got this pain in my back. It's indescribable. Well, tell me about it. I just did. I can't. There's nothing left. I cannot tell you what it's like. It is indescribable. But we're not alone in using that kind of language. The Bible does that also. Specifically, the Apostle Paul. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles, if you have them, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I was not scheduled to deliver the eulogy this morning. Some of you are saying, I thought David Bricky was supposed to do that. David had a problem this morning. It's indescribable. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Okay, I'm not going to leave you. He's got a problem with his eye, and he went to the emergency room just to check up on it. We're probably not going to be anything terribly serious, but he needed to get it checked out, and so he asked me if I would sub for him this morning. Now come back to me. Quit worrying about that. Or texting. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Indescribable gift. Now what's interesting about that is that comes at the very end of two full chapters where Paul is talking about the gift. Two full chapters, 38 verses, over 1,000 words Paul expended in chapters 8 and 9 to talk about what the gift was. And then he concludes at the end, thank God for the indescribable gift. So I want to talk to you. I'm going to do two things. I'm going to tell you up front what I'm going to do. I want to talk to you about that indescribable gift. I want to talk to you about what Paul is calling indescribable. And then I want to move to the table. Because the indescribable gift he's describing, or attempting to describe in chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians is not this. It's not this table. But we're going to come to this table. So what is the indescribable gift, and what makes it so incredible? What makes it so unbelievable? Well, the gift, if I can summarize it quickly, is a benevolent collection of money that the saints at Corinth and other places gathered together to send to the needs of the Jerusalem church. I'm going to tell you, this church experienced that kind of indescribable gift. When hurricanes Helene and Milton came storming across our area, and 8 of our families were without their homes, and we began trying to get the money together from our own resources to help our own, and we reached a point at which we were no longer capable of meeting the needs of our people, and we reached out to selected churches, not a nationwide appeal to everybody, but to churches we knew who knew us. And we said, we have this need, and can you help? We had an amount of money that we thought we needed to take care of our people. A conservative estimate. And within days, that amount had been exceeded by twice the amount we had asked for. And we reached a point at which we were returning money to churches and sending out a second message saying, we've got it, turn off the spigot. We don't need any more. Thank you. While this congregation may not know all the details of what happened there, to the bishopric at Henderson Boulevard, it was indescribable. I mean, it was indescribable. The amount of money that people were willing to give. I mean, the very first call that I received was from one church saying, we'll send you a check for the entire amount you're asking for. The entire amount. And we said, please don't do that. Because there are other churches that want to help. And we want to spread that around. And they said, let us know. Whatever you need, let us know. I'm going to tell you, brethren, that is indescribable. That people would have that kind of heart and the resources to help God's people in this congregation. That's what's happening here. When Paul appeals to these brethren in this area of the country and saying there is a great gift that has been given in the churches of Macedonia. But there's something else about this indescribable gift here that makes it incredible. Look, I'm not at a loss for words. I'm using these words intentionally. It is that the people that are giving out of their own affliction and poverty. This is like a person walking down a sidewalk and there are healthy people all around him and the person falls and the first person to help him up is a guy on crutches. You get it? I mean, out of all the healthy people that are there, it's the guy on crutches that bent over and helped him get up? Or a 78-year-old woman who's struggling to try to lift a heavy body up off the sidewalk. I mean, of all the people, it shouldn't be that one. It shouldn't have been these brethren. The brethren that Paul is talking about, they shouldn't have been the ones. They had their own difficulties. They had limited resources. And Paul is calling it indescribable because they gave so much. so much. So here's what he says. The cost to the givers is what made it incredible. Look at chapter 8, verse 2. 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 2. That in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. And then he says in verse 3, for I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. You know what that phrase means? It means I didn't have to persuade them. I didn't twist their arms. When they gave a little bit, I didn't say, come on, surely, folks, you can give a little more. I mean, just a little more. It was of their own accord. It was what they wanted to give. And they gave it out of their poverty. And then verse 5 says, and this, not as we expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. What he says is, what enabled them to give so much was that they first were owned lock, stock, and barrel by God. So everything they had was his. Everything. And they gave. And they gave more. And this gift is great because of certain aspects of the giving. For example, the planning that went into it. Look at verse 6, chapter 8. So we urged Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. The idea is they had planned this gift. This wasn't a last minute, like my maybe coming to you this morning and saying, we've got a family. They lost their house in a fire last night. Members of the congregation here, folks, they are completely without. You know them well. It's the Smith family. And they need help. They need a place to stay temporarily. They need food. They need clothing. They lost it all. I have no doubt that all of you would say, going to pony up. We're going to make this happen. Don't you worry, Ralph. We'll do this. But this was a planned thing. I mean, a year ago, Timothy had gone to these brethren and said, hey, we got this famine and we got this need. And these brethren, they're going to need more help in the near future. So start preparing for what is happening. It's a planned gift. It's not a last minute thing. And the brethren are planning their giving for this. They're maybe putting away all their spare change. When they get in the chariot and they ride down to their Dairy Queen and they get change back, they bring it home and they put it in the little, this is where it's going, because they're going to come back and collect this money. They're going to need what we have. It was a very carefully planned gift. And then he says again in verse 10, I give my opinion in this matter, for this is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also to desire to do it. To desire to do it. A year earlier, these brethren had started saying, we want to help. We want to help. We want to be part of that. This church had gathered a large amount of money a couple of years ago when hurricanes hit our brethren down in the Fort Lauderdale area. And we gathered a large amount of money from this congregation. And then we sent to that church And we said, if you need more, let us know. And they said, you know what? We've received enough help. It's good. So we had this money. We had this money, and we were sitting on it. We said, you know what? This is hurricane relief money. That's what our brethren gave it for. Hurricane relief. So we'll just save it. We may need to send it somewhere again. And 1 year later, we did, to our people, when Helene and Milton took the homes of our brethren, preparing in advance. This was a well-prepared contribution to the saints. They were ready to give. They were in it, and they wanted it to happen. But it also had, it was a very valuable gift. Look at verse 7. Just as you abound in everything, you abound in faith, you abound in utterance, you abound in knowledge, and you abound in all earnestness, and you abound in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. If faith is important, if love is important, if utterance of the word is important, no, this gift had great value. It said so much to those saints in Jerusalem about how much their brethren in Macedonia cared about them. And the third thing is the love which prompted it. I'm looking back on it, I think to my brother elders, we probably should have shared some of the written responses that accompanied the checks that we received from churches. Because the kinds of things they said, we know your church. We know what you are and what you do. We are blessed to be able to give. Some of them said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And they gave. And they spoke of their love. And that's also in the text. In verse 8, I am not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. The sincerity of your love. Prove it. And the saints did. They proved it. This is how much we love you. We're going to the limit for you. And verse 24 says, therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love and of our reason for boasting about you. The proof of your love. If the Jerusalem saints ever doubted that the Macedonians and the other people on the hinterlands ever cared about them, that doubt was washed away in the abundant financial resources that poured into Judea and Jerusalem. The indescribable gift. And the result of it is mentioned at the end of chapter 9. There would be relief of the problem for the saints at Jerusalem. There would be thanks that would be given to God. Thanks be to God for the indescribable gift. It would be a stronger relationship between the saints in those places. And there would be a great testimony given to the world about how brethren take care of brethren. So, let's come down to the wire. This is an indescribable gift. This. In the very same ways that the gift we've just talked about was indescribable, this is indescribable. So let me try to describe it. Think about what went into this body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the cost to the givers. Think about what God gave in sacrificing his son for you and me. We who eat this bread and drink this cup, God gave his son for you and for me. And then think of Jesus on the other side of that, the one who gave himself. How can you doubt the love of Jesus when he hangs on the cross and says, Father, forgive them? And think of the planning that went into it. In our Genesis class, we're going to come soon to the proto-evangelium, the first message of the good news that God came to save us in chapter 3, verse 15. From the very beginning of Genesis, God was planning. I got to save these people. I got to make allowance for them. I got to take care of them. This is not something that we just prepared this week or in our lifetime or in the last century. This is something God was preparing for from the beginning of the world. It consumed his thoughts. And the value, what was given? This bread that represents a sinless life, this blood that represents a sinless man from beginning to end. Not at just one point in his life, but from the beginning of his life till the end of his life, the only perfect being in the history of the world. That is who we honor this morning. That is the indescribable gift and the love that prompted it. And finally, the result. Because we are at this table today, our sins are forgiven. And as we have already sung with Tucker and we've proclaimed the greatness of God, worthy is the Lamb, our thanks has been poured out from our lips and our hearts. And God knows how thankful we are. And we don't often talk about it, but I want you to be very aware this morning of the people around you as they partake of this bread and this cup, that they too are proclaiming their relationship to you. We all are recipients of this indescribable gift. My brothers and sisters, we've come to this place to share in the largesse of our God. And we offer a testimony. We sang it. We will show it. And then we will go out in the world this week and we will demonstrate it. God is good and Jesus is Lord. Salvation offered for the whole world, past, present, and future, is right here in the bread and the cup. Behold, behold God's indescribable gift.